church says, amen. At Calvary. What the Lord has done for us, what sacrifice he made, so that we can sing such songs of how grace we have found with God through what the Lord Jesus Christ has brought through his death, through such a cruel death, excuse me. Been doing that quite a lot here lately, dropping my stuff. So, through all that the Lord has done, brings us to the times that we now have opportunities to be his children. In that song, it even mentioned how often we have spurned God's word, how we have missed those opportunities, but by the grace of God, it keeps being made available to us. Each day that we are given, is God giving us another opportunity to set our course correct, to ask and be forgiven of things that we have still struggle with in our life. So when it comes to this lesson that we're working in this month, lesson on opportunities, God is always opening windows, opening doors. We also have been working on the Tuesday class through the book of Acts. And I encourage and have encouraged and will continue to encourage all Christians, we need to study Acts. Christians need to know the history of the church and Christianity. And if more of us would just get ourselves focused in on that, it will clear the path for a whole lot of stuff that we're struggling with out there, and what is right and where is the church and who is saved and who is not. God's plan of salvation is clearly spoken in the Gospels, but you see it put into full throttle practice in Acts. Acts shows how when the church started, what was proclaimed as the gospel, and how those who heard it responded to it, and that theme does not change down through Acts. You see many acts of conversion, but all have the same theme. Jesus crucified and has risen as Lord and Savior, and in submission to that, what must I do to be saved? Those who believe the message had to change whatever way of life they were conducting themselves in as a matter of spiritual belief and do things according to that same plan, which brought them to believing and confessing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being baptized into the body of Christ. From the noble down to the least, that has and was and continue to be the thing. I'm going to use the time that's allotted me this evening to look at some things here presented in Acts. The missionary journey of Paul. We've been using Paul quite often, and you can't look at Acts without, you got Peter and Paul. It could almost be given over to as the stories of the Acts of Peter and Paul, them being the two main characters in this particular book and the things that are put forth there. But one thing that I also like to mention that many forget, we were studying Acts, especially when we look at the accounts of Paul and the things that he encountered. Somebody was narrating that. When we get into those epistles where the accounts were Paul and the shipwrecks and everything, and it spoke of as we and us, Luke was there. Many of those things that Luke present to us in Acts. Luke was a companion of Paul, so we have often said many of us wouldn't want to hang with Paul. Paul, you hung with Paul, it seemed like problems and troubles just seemed to just abound your way. You were going to have some problem with people, you're going to be in distress, you're going to have some hard times, but it's interesting how Paul looked at these things. So this evening, and I will not keep you all long, I was told the week that I was out that it was mentioned to me how my brother did a great job, and they said we were done. I don't know why they. We were done by 8. By 8 o'clock. I'm not going to keep you all long. Okay. But let's move into our lesson for this evening. We're going to pick up here looking at some of the accounts. And I may be moving kind of fast because I want to give a narrative of some of the things that we are encountering here when we look at Paul. This is the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. And you find it recorded in Acts chapter 13, through 13 through 14. Starts out with, we will notice that the Holy Spirit sent them from Antioch, Syria. We find that in Acts 13:1-3. The church commended them, but it was the Holy Spirit who sent them forth on this work. Separate me, Paul, and Barnabas to this work, is what was how the Spirit had presented it. They sailed from Cilicia, they journeyed to the Isles of Cyprus, where they preached to the Jews in the synagogue. Acts 13:4-12 presents this. They preached to a Roman proconsular, Sergius Paulus. And then we also know that in that encounter, you got Elymas the sorcerer, whom Paul struck blind. Paul would often become agitated when those would try to. We know that Paul was very committed to whatever he put his heart and mind to, because that's how he met the Lord with that, and that was Brother Neil that brought that out this morning, how he saw the light. Paul was a determined man, but Paul had a darkness in him. I had spoke to you many times about, I mentioned y'all, those dark times in my life. I hope some can relate to that. There, we have had some dark times in our life. Thank God for seeing the light. And many times, well, Paul was struck blind by the brightness of a light. Many times it's been things coming to our life, Brother Neil, that bring us to the light. And it usually don't come with no soft coming in cutting the light. Many times you run into some things that stop you dead in your tracks so you can see. Paul meets this sorcerer and he strikes him blind. But as we go on and looking at how Paul in this journey, as they now sent forth him and Barnabas, it gives us that at Antioch of Pisidia, they preach first to the Jews in the synagogues, then to the Gentiles in the city. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Acts chapter 13, you find that 13:49, for you all who are keeping a track of the where you'll find these particular verses. Then at Iconium, they again had the opportunity to preach both Jews and Gentiles. Acts 14, 1-7, these opportunities are coming up. Paul is taking advantage of it. And at Lystra, the apostles were mistaken for gods, and the people of the city attempted to worship them. Acts chapter 14, 8-18, and Paul and Barnabas had to persuade them that we are not gods. And it's interesting, when they persuaded them of the truth of who they was, then they tried to kill them. Truth will set you free. Truth sometime will cause you to have to suffer for it also. But then we move on at Lystra. The apostles were mistaken for gods, and the people of the city attempted to worship them there. The Jews from Antioch tried to kill Paul, Acts 14:19. We also have Paul and Barnabas departing from Derbe, chapter 14:20. After the preaching in Derbe, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Paul had the right perspective. Paul saw all of these things that was coming up their way. He saw them as opportunities, but never did he get himself deluded with the aspect that it was going to all be easy and smooth sailing. He said and spoke of with many tribulations. You find a phrase that was often used by Paul in his letters and his accounts of things. This phrase, open the door. Open the door. He used open doors of faith, open doors for different things. Open door. We are accustomed to hearing that. Open doors of opportunity is what my theme of this lesson is this evening. Open doors of opportunities. We live in a world where we are very acquaint with that. Often people tell a young person, you know what, you're going to miss that door, that window, that door of opportunity. When we are speaking to them about times to get their education or an opportunity to take advantage of something that's coming along. You know, now they're giving these things where you can go to school, it's easy to get grants. Many took those opportunities, but now we come to find out, too, that they have burdened a lot of folks with those student loans. But there has always been someone looking for opportunities, an opportunity to have that vacation, that dream vacation, and you look for that good deal. Y'all get them on your phones? Y'all got them smartphones like me. They always giving me something, an opportunity for this trip, opportunity for this flight, opportunity for all types of opportunities, always coming our way. What about the sales? Y'all look for those opportunities to have that great bargain, that great sale. They just had a big sale. They have a sale for everything. Summer, what holiday we just had? Something that went on, they had a big sale behind it. Always opportunities for certain things. But here's where I want to change courses. Do we really see and look for windows of opportunities for spiritual matters? Windows of opportunities for to share the gospel, windows of opportunities, doors of open to have God's word proclaimed. Paul did. Paul prayed for those things. And many times, Brother Neil, I've come to realize we pray for things that we really don't want. Oh, we pray for the growth of the church. Do we not? We pray for the growth of the church. I pray for the growth of the church. But how do you think the growth of the church is going to come? That door is going to open, and the saints going to come marching in, huh? And all you have to just move over and let them line up. Do you know when we make those types of prayers, the opportunities to open up then for you to speak and proclaim and live and talk to folks about the word of God? God has given that work. That is the opportunity of the church. You notice, nowhere in the New Testament, after Christ died and went back to heaven, that the gospel was proclaimed to any other man or woman besides through the mouth of a disciple of Christ. Christians make Christians. God opened up opportunities. Matter of fact, God sent angels to give a person opportunity to hear the gospel, but the angel did not declare the gospel. The angel gave that person the opportunity to send for another person who got an opportunity now to hear and to know that God wanted all to be included. Do y'all hear and understand? This is the things that Acts was presented. God was giving those who were his opportunities to become more faithful and giving them opportunities to bring others into the body of Christ. That hasn't changed. So as we pray for these things, increase in the church, pray for my family, hearts to come to Christ, opportunity for you to give them some Christian guidance, to live right before them and to speak Christ before them. You may make somebody mad. Paul did. But God gives us the opportunity to proclaim. He works on the heart. Thank you. So as we move forward on this, the phrase, open doors. Paul used this. God has furnished an opportunity of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what he had done for Paul and using Paul and Barnabas. And the preaching had met with success beyond any of their wildest dreams. As we looked at those scenes where Paul was going, Paul was meeting opposition, but that church was growing. I think in one of our lessons there, Paul was converting families. I made a statement to our class that I remember coming into the church and we were converting and people were coming in as families. I came in as a family unit. And I do believe that most of what you will see in the conversions there, it was always in the family perspective. When we make that effort to get to people, we have opportunities all the time about us. Paul looked for these opportunities. In one of our accounts, when he did go into Macedonia, into the European continent, he looked for a place. Realize this was the place where the women gathered to pray. Now, these were people who knew of God, but they did not know of the gospel. They went there and they prayed to the God of heaven. They prayed. People have always prayed. You find people praying all the time. And we're always around praying folks. How many on your jobs, in your school, when something's going wrong, they tell you to do what? Pray for me. And we tell them, yes, we do pray for them. I hear more prayers among us from families and friends and acquaintances. And all. Don't you know those are opportunities? When they ask you next time to pray for them, go back and tell them, I prayed for you. And I'm praying also that you will allow me to give you more knowledge about the God that we know and want to serve. Because if you ask me to pray to God for you, then you must be a person that believes that there is a God. And if you believe there's a God, maybe you need to have some more information, instructions about it. What's the worst they can say? No. We don't like to hear no, though. We don't like to hear rejection. Or is it that I don't feel that I know enough about my God to tell someone about him? You know how you came to Christ? You know how what was spoke to you? You know what you did in order to become a child of God? You know enough. You know enough. Matter of fact, that was Paul's defense. Paul was put in positions where he constantly told why he was being arrested, why his fellow countrymen wanted him dead, and his defense was Jesus Christ crucified, how he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. That's Paul's story, how he was struck blind, how he saw the light, but then the opportunities, and every time he got to speak that, he saw those, this was his opportunity. These were doors being opened to him. I go further. The preaching had been met with success beyond their wildest dreams. Open doors was one of Paul's expressions. He speaks abundantly of opportunities with great progress. Paul used this phrase in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We see Paul in this particular time is in his letters, in the Corinthian letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and about 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. Paul said the door was open by the Lord. How many of us look at when I get the opportunity to somebody answer me about what church I attend or answer me to pray for them? Do I recognize that as a God opening a door? It is. What do we do with those openings? People look for openings. People who sell you stuff, they're always looking for openings. And we call most of those people opportunists. Person that looks, checks, try to find an opportunity to get in, to make their pitch, or to make their sale, or to promote their thing. But you know what? God wants his people to be opportunists too. Opportunities to share the gospel. And if I can't speak it, do it. What you mean, do it? Oh, those times when we're out in public settings, do you pray before you start indulging in your food? Do they see you just act courteous when somebody is just giving you a hard time, or do you go off on them also? Don't you know those opportunities for people to see you look peculiar? When a person comes to you and says, you know, you did not have to take that. They were wrong, and you should have let them have it. We say, oh, I just don't, that stuff don't bother me. I just don't. Don't you know you're missing an opportunity to say, I am a Christian? And the God I serve tells me that that's not how he's pleased with me conducting myself. Well, what church you go to is probably how they're going to respond to you. Oh, opportunities. We have them, but do we use them? Doors, windows of opportunity. We also have this thing that goes usually with opportunity, adversities. I think, Brother Neil, you spoke on some of that. We don't lack adversity. We want everything to be smooth. We want everything to be calm. That's the life of a Christian, right? Everything is just roses. Nothing's, the weather's nice. People speak nice. Everything is nice. That's not your Christian life. Christianity upsets them. The Christians of the first century were accused of turning the world upside down. That's what Christianity brings. It brings about a change. It upsets some folks. Literally, it upsets some folks. I remember being on the door knocking campaign. We didn't even get to the man's house. He saw us walking and going from door to door. And this fellow got quite upset. Matter of fact, he was ranting and raving in his yard. I was young in the faith. I was with Brother Jones. I did the little boy thing. I stepped back and got behind Brother Jones. Matter of fact, I actually stepped off the sidewalk. We got by his house. Y'all know what Brother Jones did. Y'all know what he did, right? He waved and said, have a good day. We kept on going, pressing on to do what we went to do. But we did not stop on what we was out to do, looking for opportunities for those who wanted to hear the gospel. That's what Paul did. Paul would go and preach the gospel to those who wanted to hear it, but the ones who his adversaries followed, the Jews followed him city to city, hounding them. Matter of fact, stirred the people up to the point one time where they stoned him to death. Stoned him to death. They didn't stop throwing them rocks till they said, this man is dead. But Paul rose up, shook it off, and went on back to where they started off, at Antioch, and didn't preach the gospel no more? No. Shook it off and went straight to the next city. I think it said went back into the city, if I'm not mistaken, but he pressed on. Adversities, but he saw it all as an opportunity. We also see, as we looked at the life of Paul, how those opportunities presented themselves. Paul prayed for further opportunities. Paul prayed for further opportunities. As I said, many times we pray, but I don't think we are really wanting the things that we pray for. It's almost like when we pray for patience. I've done it. I pray for patience. I still pray for patience. But it took me a while, Brother Neil, to realize if I'm praying for patience, don't you know, that don't mean things are going to leave you alone. You don't get patience by being left alone. Nobody makes any noise. Brother Scott is praying for patience. Y'all be quiet. Don't bother him. Don't say nothing to him. Don't do anything. That ain't how you get patience. Patience comes through persevering and going through something. So when we're praying for patience, that's why I said many times we pray for things that we really don't want. You are going to put up with some persevering, long-suffering, all that is produces patience. We want God to just make me the most patientest man in the world. You're going to suffer. You're going to put up with some things. And as you go through it, you start to see, God kept me through this, and I wait on him to bring me. That's how you can see Job in his perspective. Good Lord giveth, good Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But look what the man was going through. Paul used every opportunity he had. Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1. And again, these letters, when you get into the Philippian letters and those, these are Paul's prison epistles. Paul is not a free man when he writes and proclaims these things. Here in Philippians chapter 1, and we look at start at verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. What's this man talking about? The things that's happening. Paul, you locked up. You locked up for preaching the gospel. And all other things that has happened to him. He says he wants you to know. I would you should understand, brethren, that the thing which happened unto me, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Got him locked down, but while Paul was on lockdown, he was converting the very palace of Caesar. While Paul was being transported to have his sentence in Rome, Paul, that story in the Acts, through a storm, before the storm was started out, nobody was listening to a little big mouth prisoner trying to tell the captain of a ship how to be a captain. But before the journey was over with, and all hope was lost, the only voice that they were listening to was Paul's. By the time of the end of that journey, they had faith and trust in Paul and the God whom Paul said, whose I am and whom I serve. They looked to Paul. In our spiritual walk, if we would use the opportunities that God gives us, we'd be surprised how you can convert people to become believers of God by how you show your, I love how Paul put that, the God whose I am and to whom I belong. See, many times we'll claim God, but our actions don't show we don't act like we belong to him. Oh, I can contest to that. Some of y'all in the class, I've shared you some of my stories. You know, go out, declare folks sinners, and then they watching you. And then it turns around, you become the bigger sinner than the ones that you proclaim to be sinners. Paul went on to say, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxed confident by my bonds, as much more bold to speak the word without fear. Y'all hear what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, because I have gotten locked up, and the brothers see that I ain't stopped preaching Christ, that's giving them to be more bold to proclaim Christ. But he also makes this statement too. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Does that still go on today in the church? People are doing things out of envy and strife, trying to one-up one another, trying to outdo one another, out-teach, out-preach, out-dress, out-sing, out-out. And some also of goodwill. But just as many as you find that adversity there, you find some that are doing it out of the goodwill, the opportunity to come to learn and be a God-fearing, God-serving individual. We have just seen, and some of us have had opportunity to stand and watch a faithful servant of God be faithful until. I know what type of encouragement has been and has been and has done to me in my spiritual walk. Not only in word, but in deed. This is the things that Paul is saying here. And one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposed to add affliction to my bonds. Paul said, it kind of leads back to what Joseph said. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I often tell folks, people get so upset, but you don't understand. They're doing this, they're doing that. I never tell a person, no, that ain't true. That ain't what they're doing. They may be. You may be right on. That's exactly what they're doing, out to just make your life miserable. But don't you know, God has the last say in matters. If you just persevere, if you just look at those as opportunities, windows of opportunity, as Paul saw, doors opening. Verse 17, but the others of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. They say, I don't care what your motive is, but Christ is preached. And here's the thing. No matter what adversity is coming into our life, the opportunity for you to be Christ-like, to proclaim Christ, whatever the intentions are those around you, I've come to even realize that many times you have your focus in on a certain individual, a certain person, about trying to show them God's word or trying to be who you think you're going to convince or persuade to be Christ, and comes from a very different direction. Somebody that you had given notice to is watching you, and they are moved by what you are doing. This is what Paul has said. He know all of these things were going on. But notwithstanding, everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. What did he say he was rejoicing about? Because some was out there pretending, some was out there doing it to get him more. He was rejoicing because Christ was preaching. When we get that mindset about ourselves, not so much what someone else is doing, but what my intent is, that I'm living for Christ, I'm serving him, don't you know that's where you find your joy in? Not when we come into the building and everybody is acting right, everybody is doing right, and the building is full of people. I'm just so happy. I am happy to see us as God's children come to the fellowships, come to the assemblies, come to the worship service. That does bring joy to me. But nevertheless, we should rejoice that I still have a heart that can have joy because the God I serve is still on the throne, and I am able to find rejoice. And Paul says, I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's what you rejoice about. If you're doing God's will, that's you're securing your salvation, making your call and election sure. And look and see others that have the same heart, minds. It's just double joy. Paul goes on to say, as I drop down to verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yea, what I shall choose I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I abide in the flesh, is more needful for you. Paul understood his whole perspective. He wanted to be with the Lord. He knew that was going to be the end of his course, but he knew at this time also, him in the flesh was also an importance to others. And when we start having that mindset, brothers and sisters, that it ain't just all about me, opportunities, as we're speaking of, to tell and show others about Christ, we miss opportunities to be a strength and encourage to one another. When you show up for your worship service, when you show up for your Bible studies, don't you know you are strengthening others? You're strengthening teachers. Teachers and preachers and those who live, you're helping your family. This is how Paul saw his time in the flesh was for the help of others. For I have this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by the coming to you again. So we see how Paul viewed himself and looked at those windows of opportunity in everything that he did. Every time he would be met with adversity, or any time he would be sent into a different location or a different situation, he saw them as opportunities. Brethren, sometimes pray We pray for the furtherance of the service of the Lord. We are his servants. So any service, a furtherance of God's service in the flesh is going to be done by those who, so why would I be in my congregation and pray for the furtherance of the service, but I don't want to be a servant? I said, sometimes we pray for things that we don't really want, and we miss those opportunities. Praying for the furtherance of the service, use the opportunities that you have to be in service for the Lord. That is a problem, that we often pray for things we don't want. I'm going to give you three topics here that we need to consider in these windows of opportunities. We need to use the opportunities you receive. Become better at using the opportunities that you receive, the opportunities that I receive. What I'm saying is this: many times we see many opportunities, but you know how we look at opportunities, Brother Neil? I don't see why the brothers don't do. I see something, but I don't see why they, and any time if you're in the body of Christ, stop calling, speaking of your church as a they. Amen. It's a we. Amen. It's us. Amen. And if I see a need, my brother Hunter teaches that once you see the need, then that means that's an opportunity to do something about it. Well, I can't teach no brothers. Yeah. Yeah, you can get some brothers, you bring some brothers there, and well, we have opportunities. I'll work through that one a little bit further. Use the opportunities you receive. We'll have accounts of opportunities. We have to give account, of opportunities that we squander. We want to put that on some, but each and every one of us will have to give account for the opportunities that we squander. If I have opportunity to bring somebody to Christ, bring somebody to a service, bring fellow brothers and sisters to a service, there are many that will come if you would bring them. That's that lesson of influence. Many of us don't even use the influence that God has given us in our lives to the furtherance of the kingdom. Come on, y'all, let's go to a show. Y'all got that influence. Come on, y'all, and gather with me at my place, because we're going to do what we do that we always do so well. Got that influence, and they show. Come on, y'all, and let's go to a Bible class. They ain't going to come if I invite them. Keep asking them anyway. And keep coming. Continue to look for further opportunities. Not only do we not use the opportunities we receive, we don't look for further opportunities. After the successful preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip didn't stop. Philip had been down, remember the persecution came upon the church, they drove him into this forest area of Samaria. He went down there proclaiming Christ, preaching the gospel, converting. The Spirit told him to join himself to the eunuch that was coming from Jerusalem that had come from that worship. He took the opportunity and he went. He engaged the individual, asked him, did he understand what he was reading? That's a bold move to ask somebody, do you understand what you believe? Do you understand what church you go to? Many folks will tell you about, oh, we had good church. Y'all went to church Sunday? Yes, I was at church Sunday. We did too. We had good church. Did you ever ask them, what was your sermon about? Oh, I don't know. Sometimes they get rid of, but boy, did we have a good time. And he preached. What was the message about? Ask them about that verse that they give. Talk to people about God's word. You may get them to say, I guess you think you know all about the Bible. No, but engage in Bible talk. We talk politics, sports. The latest show, what's that show with them girls with all them claws on their hands? Oh, it is close, ain't it? Oh, okay. We talk about all, but do we talk about? Okay. Continue to look for opportunities. After he had preached to that Ethiopian eunuch, he continued on. Matter of fact, you'll later hear of Philip being spoken of as Philip who? Philip the evangelist. Philip the evangelist. Evangelizing meant that he was going about preaching and proclaiming God's word as a, that became his title, Philip the evangelist. That's the same Philip that started out as a servant that was chosen among the seven to serve the tables. Use the opportunities we receive. Continue looking for further opportunities. Ethiopian unit. And our prayers and opportunities. Our age has been given an opportunity unheralded in prior generations. We, in the time that we are now, we have such great opportunities to do so much. Look at what all we got. We have, first off, Old and New Testament, the whole revelation of God's word. And not only that, we have access to, I spoke this once before, and it is as true as I stand here. A person can know what we're doing here on the other side of the world quicker than they can next door. We live in a time and age where things can be shared. You can be in one part of this country that we live in less than 8 hours, you can be on the East Coast. We live in a time and age where we have so much to work with, so much to share, and so many ways to do it. Print and press and movable type has only been available for as little as 500 years since the day it was invented. Y'all realize that? Print and press. Before then, when Paul was sending me those parchments, he was had those that was scribing and writing down things. They were securing things. 500 years ago is when they had invented the print and press. And look at what we have now. Some of y'all right now probably got the message out. Brother Scott said he was going to stop. And he's still, I think he's not gone. And they know about it in North Carolina already. Yeah, he said that he was going to. Oh, we have so much. For the past 50 years, churches have had the opportunity to preach the gospel by many, many means. It used to be, we used to have a lot of tracts and bulletins that was going out. Even that's old school now. With the latest media and things, you don't need that. Sermons ready, available. You can listen to sermons of Christ about the gospel all day long, 24/7. I think one while we had them playing 24/7. Opportunities in our present time. And I know so here, most of our material that we use, we print it in-house now. We don't even have to send out for that anymore. We assemble our lessons. How many take advantage of those lessons that we put together, that the work goes into and your teachers are? Do you keep those lessons? The lesson, when I said the lesson is yours, how many have kept their lessons over the last, this is the seventh month of the year? Don't you know you would have a book? Oh, thank you, sister. I'm glad to see and hear that. Keeping those lessons, that's your reference back to all those things that you can go back and that we've discussed and things that you can reference back to. We have, and in their day, nobody really had a copy of the scriptures. If you had a copy of scripture, you were a wealthy person. That Ethiopian eunuch who was reading Isaiah when Philip went to him, he was a wealthy man. He was reading Isaiah. Many did not have that opportunity to have the written word. On your websites, people can read all your bulletin articles, download and print the same class books we use and the things we use here. I think we still post it, the lessons and all, we post them on, where we'll get back to it when we get our website back up and function. I know we were doing it at one time. And on your Bibles, all of you guys have those apps that have at least, and I'm going to be, I said at least 10 Bibles. Many of them have more than that. I know the phone that they've hooked me up with now, it's got so many Bibles I didn't even know exist, but all your major Bibles are right there at hand. Look at what we have. Look at the resources there were, but do we use it to have opportunities to further our knowledge and to share the knowledge of God's Word? We miss so many opportunities that is available to us to be more what God would have us to be. So as I bring it to us close, so as we see in the first century, Paul saw everything as opportunity. Even when he was being put under duress, even when he was being mistreated, even when those that were proclaiming Christ was doing it to his detriment, he said it didn't bother him. He knew what was going on, but the fact that the opportunities for people to hear the gospel was being presented, that was his whole course in life. That was our brother Paul in the Lord's church in the first century. We're brothers and sisters in that same church here in 2019. God only has one church. That same God that struck Paul blind and gave him the opportunity to see the light, it's the same God that gives us these opportunities to assemble ourselves, hear his word, and to respond to it. Many shun great opportunities, but to continue to shun the opportunity to hear God's word, believe it, to repent, change that mind that will lead to a change of action. The action started with confessing the very fact that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then to move upon that as an act of faith into the grave of baptism, dying in the water, rising again into a new spiritual walk of life, that is the one opportunity that many do not take advantage of, but all should avail themselves of, because just as God gives opportunity to become a child of God, there is coming a time of judgment. Two things can occur. The Lord can come back. He can come back this very next second. But also, my life, my opportunity to be on this time side of life can come to an end. And at that, all opportunities for my spiritual welfare, my spiritual destination is set. And these things that we all want to be constantly advocating to those that we meet, those that we care for, family, and not only advocating with our words, but with our life, showing that we do believe and love the God that we serve, that we are faithful to what we claim that we are professed to be, and that's God's children, Christians. And that's my message to you all this evening. I went 5 minutes past eight. I'm doing better. Y'all pray for me. Okay. But if you're here tonight, and if you want to obey the gospel, you've heard the message. Come down front, give your hands to the brother, make your confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We will baptize you for the remission of your sins. You will now be a child of God. You will not have wasted that opportunity. If there's any among us that has a confession of faith to make with the church pertaining to their spiritual walk, you can do so as we all together stand and the invitation song is sung.